5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. I'm Dallas.
I'm Madison.
And I'm Nikki.
She's here. We had some questions for you. We wanted to know a little bit about your like history with Book Talk and how you got on this platform. Because I feel like once we found your profile and saw your content, we genuinely fell in love like immediately. So no joke. No joke. And so I was like, how did she do this? How did you get into this? So tell us your story.
Well, thank you. First of all, I'm like fangirling over that. But I started posting on Book Talk in March of 2024. So it's been about a year and a half. And I started because books are something that I love, clearly. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of them, although I've accumulated most of those over the past year and a half. But I work a 9-to-5 and it's fine, but I had a moment of, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life, but the 9-to-5 for the next 30 years is not it. So whatever it is that I want to do, that's probably going to be an uncommon path, will most likely have to use social media. So I was like, listen, I got to get comfy in front of a camera, talking to a camera, promoting myself and doing that. And all of my friends were like, you read so many books. We already come to you for book recs. So like, why don't you start doing a book talk? So I said, okay, I joined, I'm big into like manifestation. So I actually was working with a manifestation coach and I joined her March 31 day program that she was doing, which was just kind of like, hey, manifest something that you want in the next 31 days with her. And I was like, I want to figure out like how to do social media. So I said I was going to post once a day for the month of March just to get comfortable in front of a camera, talking to people, putting myself out there on social media. And then I started posting about books and spicy books and recommendations and vibes and was like, this is fun. And I started having fun meeting people and finding mutuals and chatting with them. And then at the end of the month, I was going to stop posting. And I was like, I don't want to stop posting. And on April 1st, I remember someone sent me books off my wish list just because. I was like, oh my God. Like I was crying. I was like, oh my God. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try going live. Let's see what happens. And when I went live, a couple of mutuals who were on there in the comments, I was like, do you want to join me? And they're like, okay. And like, we didn't plan it. And we were just on for like 2 or 3 hours just chatting and hanging out. I am still friends with them now. One of them is Sam, who I was mentioning, who I'm going to an event with next month. But I just met my best friends on this app and was like, okay, cool. I like yapping about books. This is fun. And now a year and a half later, I'm still posting.
That is incredible. What a fun journey.
How did you find your manifestation coach?
That was Shannon M. Quim, was the one who I was working with for that program. It was her birthday month. So she was like, I'm going to like, it was like 2 or 3 days beforehand. She's like, I'm going to invite people to join me on this. And at the time I was like, I'm going to do an Etsy shop. I'm going to start opening up businesses. I'm going to start selling digital downloads. I opened an Etsy shop. I didn't really do much with it, but kind of ended up focusing on my social media anyway. And it's opened up so many opportunities that I never would have had if I hadn't just started posting.
Wow. That's
so cool.
That is so cool. I love how when you start somewhere, life just takes you an entirely different route. And then you, again, like find something that you're passionate about that you had no idea that you were even going to become passionate about, right? So like I originally was like, I want to be a bookstagrammer. Like I want to go on and make videos. And then I opened up the camera and I stared at it like an idiot for minutes at a time. Even when I try to make content now, I'm like, what do I do? But then I realized like I can sit in front of a camera with other people. Mm-hmm. And have great conversation for a long time. And so I was like, I need to be a podcaster. That's really what the calling is.
Yeah.
So that I'm going to move a question up that I was going to ask later, but I'm going to ask it now. How do you get over that? I feel ridiculous. I look weird, like in the camera by myself. I'm trying to make content. How do you get over that? I guess for me learning as well, like, right, how to make this type of content for our social media to advertise us, but also for people who are trying to become book talkers and influencers on the internet. How can they be helped? What can they do?
I guess my biggest advice would be do it anyway. Do it scared. Do it feeling cringy. Do it feeling weird and funny. Laugh at yourself. Like, it's supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. I was always a little bit weird. Like, I've always just been – I don't know. I've always been weird. Like, I was a band geek in high school. I used to love wearing like crazy earrings. And like, I've always been like, hey, I like things that are a little bit different than what most people like. And that kind of translated into when I like mess around with some cosplay stuff and put on wigs. I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, mm-hmm. but it's fun. So yeah. I would just say, do it scared, even though that's a lot easier said than done, and I recognize that. As for like what to make and like how to get comfy doing it, I mean, the other thing is, just because you record it doesn't mean you have to post it. The good thing about recording is you can do it over and over and over again until you find something that you like, and until mm-hmm. you've actually been like, hey, you know what, I like what I did in that try, and then I took another take and I did this, and like maybe if I put them in the same one. Mm-hmm. So I would say record the videos and then see what happens. You never have to post it, but at least you did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Out of curiosity, how many takes does it take for you to get like the perfect reel in a sense?
Mm-hmm. I don't often redo it that much. I mean, sometimes I don't like how I look once I play it back or something, or if I mm-hmm. said something, or if I was pausing a lot, I'll be like, you know what, hold on, I think I can do this better. Or if halfway through I like switch directions where I thought I was going, I might re-record it. Like yesterday I recorded a video about how, I don't know if you saw this. So I'm in my 30s and I did the Sabrina transition.
Yeah,
trend.
I sure did.
And in doing how many times I had to flip my head, because that took a lot. Let me tell you, that was a lot of effort.
Yeah.
My neck was so sore yesterday. I was sitting at work with a heating pad on it the entire day. And I was like, I can't believe I did this. So that I recorded that video when I was in my car, and then I played it back and I'm like, ugh, my belt's high and I don't like my belly. And I'm like, also, I felt like, I don't know, I liked what I said, but let me just do one more and see. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'll post the first one, sometimes the second one. Yesterday, I think I posted the second one. I need to go in and delete the first one. So like sometimes I'll redo it. But I would say for the most part, I think what I've learned is that there is no perfect reel. It's never going to be perfect. And mm-hmm. the authenticity of it is what usually will call to people if that's the audience that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I filmed a reel yesterday, and I always forget how many takes it takes. And I filmed one like for an audio from Hunting Adeline with red lipstick, and I like smear it at one point, but I kept messing up. So I had to like smear the lipstick, watch the video, go back, scrub my face, reapply, and like keep on doing it all over again. I'm like, you know what? It's fine. My hand was just red at the end of it.
But that's
like,
hilarious.
Last take, and yeah. It's going to be fine.
Honestly, if like after the second one, if you were like still doing it, I almost would have done a separate reel where you're like, this was take number one. Here's how red I am. This was take two. Here's how red I am.
I should have, because the number of takes it took was embarrassing, to say the least.
But did you get the one that you wanted?
wanted-ish. I got okay. it. But then, of course, like you mentioned, like looking back at it, I'm just like, just like start nitpicking. But honestly, it's not that bad. I took like a different approach than what I normally do. So I liked
it. I feel like it's the ones that you like don't try or just like, all right, fuck it. Like this is what it is. And like those are the ones that tend to do the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, hey, my goal was to convey the feelings that was going on in that scene in the book. So if I made people feel emo while watching it, then I succeeded.
Was that an Addy or a Sibby vibe?
Addy.
Yeah. I love
I
it.
I have to post it. All right. When I we did post it,
it's floating around on the internet right now.
If you look dumb, it's my fault.
No, you have to tell us. You have to message us to be like, hi, actually, that video was stupid. So when we post anything on our socials, let us know.
Okay.
Actually, need to go back and remake the girl code. Short.
You got to post it. You got to make it. Make the shorts. So for our listeners out there, post it even though you feel silly. And maybe people will love that you are a little silly.
Yeah.
And that's how you'll get followers. That's how you'll make friends.
And also, like, it's got to have something that makes you you, because otherwise why would someone follow you?
True.
Right. Yeah, I feel like if you just follow all of the trends, then you're not ever really doing anything authentically.
I would say my, like, there are a couple of videos that I can think of that went like mildly viral that were my take on the trends.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
so like kind of a, like one of my favorite ones, you know, the Bugatti trend.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I did a Bugatti trend one, but like I'm single and live alone. So I was like, I don't have anyone to pull me. So I did the first, I woke up in a new Bugatti and then I cut it and my feet were on a stack of books. And I was like, come on, guys, you're so big and strong and fictional.
That's so funny.
I love that.
And like that one did really well. And everyone's like, oh, my God, this is the best one in the trend I've seen and whatever. And like it was just like a funny thing because I'm like, I have no one to do it. I might as well film about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Struggling with reels whenever it's just you. It's I've learned how to like utilize so many random objects just to get a perfect angle.
Wow. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that one, though. The Addy one.
I'll send it to you after this. Look out.
Perfect.
So,
you can critique it for us.
Oh my gosh. Don't be too cruel. Just kidding. Everyone's been super nice. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, this scene. I'm like, I know.
Well, that's the other thing too. Like if you're going to people, and I, like I said, I'm big on like manifestation, like mindset, like all of that. I'm like, my life would not look the way that it does with social media if I hadn't gone through a whole personal development phase of my life, and that's still important to me. Yeah. And like I like the idea that no one who's been where you are is ever going to shame you or criticize you or tell you in any way, shape, or form to feel poorly about something that you're doing. The only people who are doing that are the ones who can't do what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you get a lot of negative stuff in your like in your comments?
No, not really.
Okay, good.
I like there's a I wouldn't necessarily say negative. I had one video, like sometimes I just kind of do my random intrusive thoughts and I let it win and I'm like, I'm just gonna post like the dumb thing. So there was one that I did that went a little bit viral on Facebook, but among men age like 45 to 65, which is not my target demographic.
No.
and I was talking about wondering how single a woman is, and you can tell by getting invited to her house and casually dropping into her bedroom and seeing how many charging cables are near her bed.
Oh, wow.
And the men, like the men in there, I had like a filter on that I looked very tan, and all the men are like, this woman is standing too close to the sun and like all of that stuff. And like, what? This lady looks like, I don't even know. And I'm like, okay.
Out of all the things to be concerned about.
It was very bizarre.
Like, how did you guys even find this video?
Right.
What's happening? How did you get here?
But it was maybe like 500K or something. Like, it went viral on Facebook. Yeah. And that's the only one that I've had that's ever done well on Facebook. Well.
Facebook's a weird place.
Like, it really is.
Yeah. We post some stuff. I mostly forget it exists. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably go post on that app. Like, that one. I'm like, ooh, I don't know. It's for a lot of the older generations, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But
yeah,
I mean, it's connected to Reels, so that's easy for me.
That's true. That's true. It does post automatic. I should get that set up. I don't have it set up.
That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
But and then, yeah, no, I mean, I really don't get a lot of like negative feedback unless the men find my videos, I would say.
Unless they find it. Yeah, that's fair. When we were talking to Jamie Johnson, like That Girl Reads, a couple weeks back, we had asked her, like, what do you do with a mean comment? She's saving them all and like all of them, and she's going to read them in a video one day.
I love that.
I am waiting every day when I wake up. I'm like, did she post it yet?
Oh my God. Wait, that's hilarious.
I was like, I wonder how many other people and creators get negative comments and like what they are doing with them.
Right.
So that, yeah.
I have another video where I was all basically talking about how like men should just read a book. It's an instruction manual.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah. I know the one.
Yeah. And all the men are like, if we do what your book say, we're going to jail. And I'm like, it's a guide, first of all. It's not actually a step-by-step instruction. Right. But like that, there's a lot of comments on there. But it's not like – I wouldn't say it's negative directly towards me other than it's just like, no, we can't do that. Or like, sure, I'll just be an 8-foot-tall fey warrior. So – like, it's not
that
really.
That seems like a cop-out, sir.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's an excuse.
Pick up a contemporary. Like, if this is your manual, you're starting off wrong.
That's true. Start with Haunting.
Yeah. Yes. And read your triggers first.
Yes. Did you read Satan's Affair?
I did. So my adventure is I read the Cat and Mouse duet last year because I wanted to. And I was like, why not? But the funny thing is whenever I bought Haunting, Hunting, Butcher and Blackbird, and I think Her Soul to Take, like, all in one go. And so I went to the checkout, and I was putting everything on the counter, like, bring it up. And the bookseller, she, like, looked at me, and she's like, make sure you read something, like, kind of neutral in between. Like, you're going to need it. I'm like, but am I?
Oh, my God.
Because people, like, they talk about Haunting and Hunting, and I'm like, I love a good challenge. Like, you can't tell me to not read something. That's just going to make me want to read it more.
Right.
But I read that last year. I'm revisiting the world. So I started with Phantom. Have you read that one yet?
No, it's on my shelf.
It's so good. Ronaldo, though, compared to Zayd, he's like a little golden retriever. But I love that man.
I mean, Zayd is Zayd.
Zayd is Zayd, but if you love a man who yearns and begs, Ronaldo's your guy.
Okay.
I think it's moving up the TBR as we're talking.
Yeah.
She's like, actually, I'm going to reach for it right now.
The more people I can convert to Phantom.
Okay.
But I started with Phantom, did Haunting, and then I was told that Satan's Affair, like, happens during a couple chapters. And I, like, started it, but then I saw where it was, like, literally interconnected in the text. So I was kind of, like, bouncing back and forth between Satan's Affair and Haunting.
So you, like, basically did a tandem read?
Essentially, and unintentionally, but yeah.
Is there a tandem read? Like, does that – I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about that.
Because there's not.
You should. It's
a difficult route. Yeah.
No, I know. But if you, especially if you know which chapters you did that in, like, you could absolutely post a video where you're like, if you want a tandem read so that you actually get it from Zayd's point of view and from Sibby's point of view, like, here's the chapters to read.
I'll add it to my mile long list of ideas that I have but have not recorded.
That'd be cute, though.
But I did the accidental tandem read. I'm reading Hunting now, and then I'm about to read Where's Molly for the first time. Have you read that one?
I have.
Okay. I've heard people say good things about it, but I feel like I never hear much about Where's Molly.
I think on its own, it is a good book, but I think because it's in the same universe and Haunting and Hunting tends to hold such a special place in most people's hearts who have read the book, who are dark romance girlies, I think it – doesn't compare to it the same way. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. It was nice to revisit that universe. But like, it's not another Haunting and Hunting.
Okay. That makes sense.
So go into it with some grace.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hey, I get to find out another mystery. Because a lot of people like forget that there's actual plot in these books. They always think of the two specific scenes in Haunting, and I'm like, but there's an actual story too. Don't forget that.
I'm assuming the pew pew and the belt.
I was thinking pew pew and the mirrors.
Yeah, that too.
So I guess three scenes.
Yeah, no, I think the mirrors is probably like more of a the scene, but the belt was a close third.
The belt was a moment.
Dallas, have you read these?
I have not.
I'm trying to convert her.
I'm loving all of this. I'm learning all the things.
Do you like dark romance?
Yes. I don't know why I ended up tiptoeing around the series. Not like to not read. Like I was like, okay, it's right here. I probably need to read it. And then I was like, what is Feather So Vicious? And then I was like, to me, I was like, what is Sins of Silas? And so I just like ended up going these different directions. And so it's on there, but I live it vicariously through Madison, especially because doing a reread just tells me all about it. So I'm like, that's amazing. This is great. So, and now there's like 800 books on my TBR. So I will get it eventually, but I think I've seen enough online and I've heard enough things that I think I'm like, I understand the concept of it and I feel like I would probably enjoy it. I need to just do it.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
I need to just read it.
When you do, I'll do a third reread.
I mean, it's October. It's spooky season.
It is. Exactly. That's true.
And you could do the accidental tandem read for Satan's Affair, but you're supposed to start with Satan's Affair.
Really? So that,
well, theoretically, you're supposed to start with Satan's Affair because then you know a little more about Sibby. And it makes Zayd's point of view make a little more sense.
See, I feel like with Satan's Affair, and I'm not going to go too far into it because, Dallas, you haven't read it yet. But, like, I feel like Satan's Affair, like, as you go on, especially towards the end, is, like, a very big spoiler for Haunting and Hunting. That's why, like, I did the accidental tandem read, even though I knew what was going to happen. Because there was... I know people were saying like, oh, there's like a huge plot twist, but the plot twist wasn't what I thought it was going to be, because if you read Haunting, then you know. But I created my own plot twist that didn't happen, but I'm like, that would have been really cool if she would have done that.
Right. If you read Haunting, you don't know?
If you read Haunting... Like, if you read Haunting, you know all the things, but if you read Satan's Affair first, then you kind of know, like, who the antagonist is, I guess, if you will. Not, like,
you guys
the big,
spoil
big
it.
One,
It'll be
but,
okay.
Like, one of them. I don't want to spoil it.
It's okay. I swear it's fine. I'm not listening.
Not okay. Listening as you're covering the headphones on your
ears. Exactly.
As you are bringing more
Let
volume.
Hear, yeah, I'm, like, I'm actually not listening.
Yeah, it's just such a good series.
I love it either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll make you a deal, Madison, right here, right now. I will read that when you pick up Quicksilver.
You haven't read Quicksilver?
Call her out. Call her out right now.
I assume you have a very good reason for why you haven't read it yet.
Tell her.
You out me every time. Listen,
every time.
Let me tell you something. Whenever I was almost going to read Quicksilver, it was around the time of these lovely books. And Onyx Storm, as we know, brutal cliffhanger. I needed 3 to 5 business days to process. I was told that Quicksilver also had a brutal-ish cliffhanger. I know now, like, kind of depending on what your vibe is. So I put it off and I was going to, like, wait until Brimstone was closer. So I am going to read it soon, I promise.
Well, it sounds like you need to start that.
After Cat and Mouse and a few more spooky reads, yes. I love
it. I mean, I would say it's not a cliffhanger so much as a huge plot twist.
Yeah, that's a good way to word it. I told her that, like, okay. I was like, I feel like we had some... quite a few questions answered at the end.
Right.
Like, it was pretty laid out. But I agree that is a good wording of, like, plot twist. Like, something we didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm. Like, I had 30 minutes left, and I was... Squamer had been yelling at me to finish it. And I'm finally finishing it, and I was just, like, pacing my apartment doing it. And I'm texting him. I'm like, what?
What is happening?
Yeah. Sounds He's like, I know. I'm like, what? It's
wild. I cannot wait for Brimstone.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited.
It's
going to
be epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be insane. I'm ready. And you will be ready too, Madison, because you will have read it by then. She did promise.
I will be ready. I promise. Okay. I just have a long TBR, and it's spooky season.
Girl, same.
Dark romance season.
Fair. Fair, fair. But it's time.
And also, speaking of influencing everyone's TBR, how has being a creator changed the way you read with people either influencing or de-influencing TBRs, with people like allegedly saying like, oh, this is the next big read, and like you have to read it like right now. Like, yeah. How has being on the internet changed the way that you read personally?
I read less because I spend a lot more time on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh. I used to be 100-ish books a year, and I think I'm at, wow, like 20 something this year, because I've been very busy doing like a lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is good and exciting, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it is kind of weird. I would say I am more hesitant to be critical of books, although I've never really been someone who is like a big critic. Like, I will say this about my social media pages. I recommend books. I don't review them. Like, I'm 100% there for the vibes. If I finish the book and go, that was fun, it's a 5-star read. If I finish the book and go, eh, it's a 4-star read. Like, if I hate it, it's a 3-star read. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know where that comes from, but like, I don't review books. I'm not like, I love this piece and this and this. I'll do recommendations where I'm like, if you like this, this, and this vibe, then you're probably going to like this book and you should read it. If you like these tropes, read this book. But I would say I also like, I like to say I'm going to buddy read with people, and then as soon as it's a requirement and I am being told that I have to read a book, I feel like I'm going to vomit when I'm going to read the book, and I just can't do it when – I mean, not actually, but like when when I'm being told to read a book, immediately I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not going to read that. So I'm really bad at buddy reads, and I've stopped signing up for them.
Buddy reads are so fun though.
I know, and I love the idea of it. But like, I have the book Pen Pal by J.T. Geisinger that I did there was four of us, three of my friends. We did a like Sisterhood of the Traveling Book kind of thing. So one person bought the book, annotated it, mailed it to another. I'm the fourth one.
Wow.
It was last year and I still haven't read it, and it's sitting on my desk.
Dang.
I don't do well when someone tells me what to read.
Honestly, that's valid.
Mm-hmm. At least you're the fourth one though. Like, there's not someone waiting on you.
No.
So like, thankfully you can take your time. Did they message you? Or are they like, hey, are you done? Are you
done? I think they've forgotten, but I'm gonna send them this clip and be
now they're gonna know.
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, actually, are you ready to pick up that book?
They know that I won't do buddy reads anymore. Like, even like when Onyx Storm came out, I went to a release party for that and then got the book. And I spent the next like month 19 pages in, and I just couldn't keep going.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, when I feel like I have to read, I can't.
It takes a fun out of it.
It does,
because there's pressure on it.
Yeah.
You same need thing to be able with to, like dive
I stopped
in.
Signing up for ARCs because I was getting like, I was feeling the pressure, and I'm like, that takes the fun out of it. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's valid, and I feel like you're probably not alone on that. I feel like there's probably quite a few people out there that also have done that. I've never done a buddy read, so I have no opinion.
They're
either way.
So fun. I did my first one with Throne of Glass, and we would send, like, it wasn't structured or anything. It was just like my friend happened to start before I did, and then I started reading. And so we would send back and forth like 20-minute long voice memos of just reactions, and it's so fun.
I love a voice memo.
Yes. Oh, yeah? I have just recently gotten into those. Someone started sending them to me. I think it was our producer, Alyssa. And I was like, what is this on my phone? And I like played it, and she told me all the things. And I was like, hello? Yeah. This is great.
No, that's like what I do in the car. It's literally I send voice notes, and then I listen to voice notes. I'll usually send voice notes to a couple people in the morning when I'm driving to work. Mm-hmm. By the time I get to work, I'm usually done sending the voice note. And then they'll send it to me during the day, and I'll listen when I get in the car home, and then I'll send voice notes back and like –
Yeah, they're fun. And it's nice because I feel like when you're texting, you don't know the tone. You can try to put punctuation, but then you always have to put an emoji.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just me.
No, but 100%.
I'm like, oh, I don't want them to think they're mad at me. So I'm like, here's a smiley face. Or here's like a, I'm stressed. But if you do a voice note, then they just know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's fine.
Yeah. We call them podcast episodes.
That's cute.
I'm like, in the morning, usually, I mean, I want to say they're not usually that long, but that's a lie. I would say my average voice note is probably 9 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, I'm slacking. I thought it was like 30 seconds up. Max.
No, I'm not saying it's something to be proud of.
No, I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, so I'll like send a voice note. I'm like, all right, here's your daily dose of nonsense with Nikki. What do I have to say? What's going on in my life?
That's
like,
cute. Mm-hmm. Me and my friend call our voice notes TED Talks. And we have our own little intros for that. Intros and outros.
Yeah.
Podcast episodes, TED Talks. I need to think of one. Give me a couple days. I'll think of a name for mine.
Mm-hmm. I'll start sending you TED Talks for Quicksilver Dallas. You'll be introduced.
Perfect.
I'm going to post it and tag Nikki. Oh, like she's finally reading it. We're here.
You're going to read it and you're going to finish it on like November 16th, just in time.
Listen.
Yes.
And I will have finished the book. And that is going to be the most important thing.
What are you going to do if you need 3 to 5 business days?
Suffer for 2 and get over it.
Good answer. Approved.
It's fine. Listen, if I can bounce back and read like Throne of Glass emotional damage back to back, I think I'll be fine.
What did you read after Throne of Glass?
That's a good question.
Let me consult the Goodreads. Yeah. Ooh, maybe it was Deep End by Allie Hazelwood.
I still haven't read that. It's somewhere.
It is so good, Nikki. You have to read it. So it's like probably her spiciest read yet. Or her spiciest book written, because it like has a little bit of kink introduced to it. It's not the kinkiest book I read, but the amount of kink in it is appreciated.
Okay.
This is Swimmers, right?
Yes.
They're Swimmers. Okay. I have not read that. Seen it. I've seen the I can picture the cover in my mind.
Yeah, no, it's like the purple one. I think it's right there.
Yes. Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah.
No, after Throne of Glass, I started my Salacious Players Club reread.
I've only read the first one of that, but I really do need to read the rest.
They're so good. I had my friend start Salacious. She did not care for Praise at all. My thoughts exactly.
Oh, no.
You're on the same page. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, but she did. Did you read book 2? Mm-mm. She loved book 2 a lot more. Okay. I told her that she had to have blinders because Salacious, like, it's considered dark romance, but I don't consider it dark. It's just taboo in theme, in my opinion.
Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like dark romance has a couple of different connotations, and, like, it can be that the book has dark themes and there's romance, or it's a romance book and the romance is dark. Like rough, kinky, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like dark romance kind of encompasses both of those. But like you said, like Taboo or like Credence, things like that. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's dark romance. I'm like, no, that's literally just Taboo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still team Uncle Jake.
I have not read Credence yet because I thought they were like blood related, not like family friend. And I was like, oh, that's fine-ish. But like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. No, they are not blood related. They are a strange step related.
Okay. See, I can rock with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is why it's taboo and not just ick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I highly recommend reading the rest of Salacious. Book 4, which is Mercy, is my favorite.
Is that the one with the madam? No, Madam is a book.
Yes, Madam is a book. Okay. But Mercy also has a madam.
Okay.
But Mercy, it's like a hot take for that one to be people's favorites because of the two main characters in it. But if you read it, let me know. I love it.
I read Praise around the same time that I also read Birthday Girl.
Okay.
Which, like, if you've read both of those, are very similar vibes because they're both shitty ex-boyfriend has a dad and I'm dating the dad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they both have, like, praise kinks in them.
So I want to circle back to the original question. Nikki, what did you read after Throne of Glass?
I probably should have had that answer ready to go. So when I read Throne of Glass, I sped through Throne of Glass because I was going to a Throne of Glass themed event, and I was like, same. I need to finish this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to?
I was going to Stardust and Shadows by Alexia.
Okay. Yeah.
But I finished Throne of Glass in like about 2 months because I didn't want anyone to say anything spoilery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I listened. So I had read ACOTAR in 2021. And then when I finished ACOTAR, I was like, okay, cool. I have to read more of this. So I read the book Throne of Glass. I got it like from Libby on my Kindle. Mm-hmm. And I read the book Throne of Glass. And then after ACOTAR, I was like, where's the spice? So I like kind of paused it, but I, while reading it, I ordered the box set, which is hiding over there. Yeah. But I ordered the box set. So I had the books and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to read them. And then I never got around to it. So last year I was going to A Night in Terrasen, which was happening mm-hmm. in Baltimore. And I had a month to read the series. So I'm a psychopath. I was like, okay, let me do the math here and figure out the audiobook. So I was like, I already had read Throne of Glass a couple years ago. So I picked up with, what's the second one? Not Air of Fire.
Crown of Midnight?
Yes. So I picked up with Crown of Midnight. So I wrote Crown of Midnight, Air of Fire, Assassin's Blade, and then I read the rest of the series. And I did do the tandem read. Mm-hmm. I did it all in audio and I like sat there one day and I was like, okay, if it's this many hours for this book, it's like, I think it was like 186 hours. I'm like, if I read it at a 2x speed, I'm like, and I do 2.5 hours a day, I'll finish it on time. And I finished it 3 days before the event.
Dang.
Nice. And I love that I did that because I had a reason to, but I also wish that I didn't speed through it because mm-hmm. I think I would have appreciated a lot of it a lot more.
Yeah.
And because I was leading up to the event and I was like, what am I going to wear to this? I was texting my group chat. And I'm like, what do I wear? I don't know enough about the series yet, but I need to order something now. Mm-hmm. So my friend said, get a gold silk nightgown. And I was like, okay, cool.
Oh.
So I got a gold silk nightgown-ish. It was like a short dress, spaghetti straps. And I wore that to A Night in Terrasen with like shiny heels. And everyone looks at me and went, oh my God, Bryce?
Stop.
And I was like, what? Because I hadn't read Crescent City.
No.
So I accidentally cosplayed as Bryce Quinlan.
It's fine.
It's not a terrible thing.
It's not. But I like five people were like, oh my God, you're Bryce. And I'm like,
No.
I'm just a redhead.
Oh my God.
Just a redhead who happens to be wearing gold.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. That's so but hilarious. I don't know. As far as what I read after, I think, you know what? I think I listened to, it wasn't a dark romance or a fantasy. It was Liz Tom Ford's The Wild Windy City series. Which is like a hockey romance, like professional hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it and I was like, it has all of the pieces to be really good, but it just didn't really hit for me. Probably because I was coming off of Throne of Glass and I was like, oh, cool, I'll do like a palate cleanser. And I just, mm-hmm. it just like wasn't clicking and I probably wasn't in the right headspace for it. I've also heard people say that the series gets better, but I'm like, let me like switch gears and see what else I can find first.
True.
That's fair.
Even though I remember the spice being really good.
In
the Windy City series.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, I don't think you're talking about Throne of Glass.
No. There's no.
No. The spice is not spice in there.
Whenever I got to, I think it was Empire Storms is whenever we get like a crumb of spice. And I was doing a voice memo to my friend. And I'm sure you both know the clip from Kevin Hart where he's like, when does this become a whorehouse? Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, oh my gosh, all these indecent people. Are you kidding me? But I was here for mm-hmm. it. Still very salty that we don't know what Lurkin did. That was a travesty.
So, like, my hot take on that is I'm pretty sure the sentence before that is she's like, I wanted him to do X, Y, and Z. So Lurkin did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, but what did he do? I'm like, bitch, she told us what he did.
But, like, I need more detail. Like, I need you to be, like, Justinio, historian, where you're just, like, every little smutty crumb telling me mm-hmm. all so I can get it in the text.
Every detail.
That is fair. I can see that. But like, I, that's my hot take. Like when I see anyone go, but like, but what did Lorcan do? I'm like, did you not read? Like she told us what he was going to do so and then he did it.
Funny. Well, and it's like truly an iconic line because she didn't give us what we expected. So therefore, like we were just begging for anything else, right? Or being like, I read it and it was there and I got what I wanted. Like I've seen people with this line tattooed on their body.
Shut up, really?
Oh no, so Lorcan did.
Wow.
In ink forever. Yeah. I've seen worse tattoos. I was like, that's cool. I like it. Like, whatever.
That's a lot of dedication is a question.
Lorcan can do whatever he wants.
That's true.
Lorcan over Rowan. Don't hate me.
I call,
don't hate me. I know.
I call Rowan my lavender husband.
So I was at work today and I work in like, it's an office complex. I'm on the 17th floor and I turned around in my office and I look outside of my window and there was a bird sitting on the outside of my window.
Who is that?
And it, like, Rowan. It looked like a little mini hawk. I'm going to, okay, wait, hold on. I have to find, because obviously I was taking pictures of it. Oh, but like I sent it to my friend and she literally immediately goes, Rowan?
Rowan, is that you? Let Rowan in.
It was, I don't know if you'll be able to see this.
Oh,
oh my gosh, yes.
So like, I think Rowan visited me today.
He did.
I had the same thing happen whenever I went to go give blood, like in the corner for whatever reason, they had like a little plushie of a hawk. And I was like, Rowan,
yeah,
what are you doing here, buddy? Like, thanks for the support.
So funny. I'm going to start sending you hawk pictures now, Madison. I live like on land. There's I yell at the hawks every day.
Back home, we have a family of hawks that live in our yard, which great for keeping out snakes. And every time I see a hawk, I'm like, Rowan.
Yeah. Now I'm going to. Please. I'm going to send you all the photos of all the hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It will happen. Give me all the pictures now.
It's really bad that my first thought is the hawk to a girl.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
They put her in a movie.
I'm really.
What?
They put her in a movie with Glenn Powell.
Did she say hawk to it in the movie?
No, but I think he referenced it. Mm. Don't quote me on this part, even this recording. I think he was like, is it like the hawk to a girl? And the only reason I know this is because, okay, I'm going to take a long route. There was a girl online, okay, this video went viral, and she like had a party at her house because she was like an extra in a movie and she had a line. And she was like so excited. So she's celebrating with her family, her friends, everybody's there. She's standing there. And all of a sudden, it's like she's like, okay, here comes my scene. And then the goddamn hawk to a girl comes on the screen and says a line. And she goes, oh my God, like they picked the hawk to a girl over me. They didn't even tell me. And she's like panicking. And I felt so bad when I was watching this video. I was like, girl, it's, I mean, I'm sure as an actress, it's one thing to be like taken out of a movie and not told, like, I'm sure that's terrible, but be taken out and then replaced with not an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That so, yeah, girl got is to be kind of heartbreaking.
Yes. I felt so bad for this girl. I was like, oh my God. But like, you just had to do one stupid thing on the internet and you like, okay, let's put you in a movie. Like,
yeah.
Here's a brand deal.
I mean, to be fair, it's me and my manifestation. I'm like, you're just one viral video away from changing your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would also used to ask, like, advice for doing things. I'm like, you never know which video could be that one. So
post them all.
I've also seen, like, the idea of every video you put online is basically like buying a lottery ticket. You never know which one's going to win. But the more you do, the better your odds.
Yeah. I also like the mentality of, like, and I try to do this, hopefully not too much, where – I'm like, if I pretend that we have 100,000 followers and I just act like we have 100,000 listeners, one day we're going to have that and it will be normal. And
that's
like,
oh, literally what like manifestation is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm manifesting for the goodest girls. Yes. So one day I'm going to wake up and check my phone because I don't check it in the nighttime anymore. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't look at it because there's always an email or something and then I can't sleep. So I have a rule. So when I wake up at 5 a.m. because my son doesn't sleep, and the day starts for me, I'm going to look on it. And it's going to go 1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
One day.
Mm-hmm.
It's my dream.
It's true.
I mean, manifesting.
The whole like and I could talk about this forever, so stop me at any point. But like the idea of manifesting is literally telling your brain that something that is not currently true is true, because your brain doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's actually happening in real life. Mm-hmm. So if you tell your brain that things are happening and you sit there and imagine and visualize it and feel as if it's already happened, your brain will take action as if that is already the case, which will push you further towards making it real sooner.
Yeah.
So by pretending, you are making it happen.
Yeah, we have 100,000 listeners. There's 100,000 people that listen to this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody into the universe. Thank you, universe.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm here for it. I mean, there's worse things you could be trying to do with your day.
Exactly.
True. Than manifestation. Mm-hmm. Everybody should try it.
Mm-hmm.
You should hold a manifestation course of your own. It's your turn to give back to the community as the community.
I mean, I want to incorporate more of that into like my content, yeah. Which is not something that I really do that much of. But I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty big shift from like talking about spicy books.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But maybe it's just how I call in like my true community.
Yeah.
Hey, you can always be like, you want to spice up your life? Start making some reels.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%.
I like it.
So we talked a little bit about manifestation and that can help people build the community that they hope to one day build. But part of that building is all of the challenges that people come across, especially with the ever-changing Instagram algorithm. I have beef with it right now. It's fine. But what are some challenges that you faced over time and how did you push through them? Because those challenges, they do be rough.
They do be rough. Yeah. I just kind of keep going. I mean, that sounds bad, but all mm-hmm. at the same time, if the idea of like we were saying with manifestation, I'm like, it's about the feeling, like feeling is energy. And that's mm-hmm. like the energy that you're putting out into the universe is what you will get back. And that's based on what you feel. So if you are feeling like, oh my God, you know what? This video's it's never going to do well and I'm just going to post it anyway, but like it's not going to do well, mm-hmm. then it's not going to do well. So if right. you're in that headspace, like recognizing that, you know what? Go do something else that's going to pull you out of it. Whether mm-hmm. it's you need a day to rot on the couch and watch TV and do absolutely nothing, or go for a walk or a run or the gym, or if you like to do arts and crafts or something, like do that. Like I would say, if it's not working, continuing to do something that isn't working is not going to get you on a path that is going to end up working out. So I would mm-hmm. say like shift your perspective somehow is mm-hmm. probably my biggest advice for that. And then maybe tomorrow or next week, you'll be like, you know what? I feel good about it. I feel optimistic. I feel positive. I feel like I can do this again. And if you're in that good feeling, that's going to come through in your videos.
That's some good advice.
I like it.
Yes.
Just keep 100%. Swimming.
Yeah. Just keep swimming.
Oh, such a classic.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to move forward a little bit because I want to talk about like book events and like cons and things like that you are going to. So you are a creator yourself. You make awesome content, again, that we love, but you also are a handler for other creators, essentially, especially at these cons. So do you have a favorite memory from any of these book events that you want to share with us, like the funniest one or the craziest one, either as a creator yourself or like a handler for other creators?
That is a good question. So I work with like PB Squamer, who I'm really good friends with, and I kind of assist him with stuff for content and with going to events with him and with his and Steven's podcast. So I help them with stuff. I would say like the highlight thus far was in Danville, Virginia, Labor Day weekend when I was there. Actually, both of the boys were there. And I was there like as Squamer's assistant, and like people were coming up to take pictures of them. And I was like, oh, do you want me to get your picture? And like, I'll grab that. I have my little light to make sure it's all good lighting, all of that stuff. And there were people coming up and they're like, oh, no, we want you in the picture too. Or like, wait, can I get a picture with you? And I was like, what?
That's so what? Nice.
So like that was a really weird but really cool moment for me.
That is incredible. I cannot imagine like the feeling that you must have had.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys were like, yes, right? Like they were like, yeah, girl, get in here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cute.
And I was in like heels because I still look incredibly short next to them, but that's fine.
They are pretty tall from what we've seen, like seen online.
I'm pretty short. I mean, I'm 5'1". So like, yeah.
Like I'm 5'2".
Yeah, Madison short girls unite.
She's Madison's not in this club.
Yeah.
Stay seated, Madison.
I'm a tall girly.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay. I will be wearing boots, so I might be 5'3"
mm-hmm.
when I'm standing next to you one day in New York. But
I love wearing heels to it because I feel normal sized.
Okay, fair. All right. So we may be still like
mm-hmm.
up there a little bit. I can't wear heels because you guys are gonna see me fall right on my face. But
wedges.
I do like a big, like a thick boot.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mm-hmm. like the booties, the ankle booties that are yeah. kind of tall. So I do have an outfit picked out for that. So when you go to these, do you always choose like, okay, I'm going to go as your assistant today, or I'm going to go as an influencer today, or how do you decide which events you're going to and which role you're going to be playing?
So that's more based on the event itself, although that seems to be kind of changing a little bit. We'll see. But like, for example, this weekend I'm going with Swamer to the Book Boyfriend Bash, which is going to be mm-hmm. in Midland, Texas, which is an author signing, but they are also going to have cover models from some of the author's books
oh,
and
wow.
a couple of voice actors there. So I'm like really excited.
Yeah.
He was invited to this. And then afterwards, once he kind of started realizing that it's helpful to have someone there with him, he reached back out to them, was like, hey, can I bring my assistant? Mm-hmm. So it like I'm there as his assistant. There's an event that I'm going to with both of them in February, which I think has been – yes, that's been announced. That's Writers Weekend in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are hosting reached out and were like, hey, like since you're also a creator – I know you're coming as their assistant, but are you okay with us announcing that you're going to be there also? And I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. So I guess that one will be a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's not really something that I sit there and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do today? It's kind of a pre-planned role that I'm playing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then how often do you still have to reach out to people to go to events, or are you at the point in your career where they are only reaching out to you? We're very new to the like event world. We did just get our first tickets to our first event and I'm so excited.
What are you going to?
So we're going to the Villains and Nightmares here in Orlando
mm-hmm.
With like the Bookish Cafe, the Moira Sisters, all that like mm-hmm. local like community, but I think it's really fun. And we're going to be in the VIP section. I got merch for people. I have a little prize wheel. I'm very
is it
excited.
A one day event? Is it like a convention?
Yes.
What is the event?
No, it's a one night event, like Dancing Under the Stars. There's going to be a mixology class. There's going to be goodie bags, like authors. I think will be there. Like it's going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The goal is to make it more intimate than mm-hmm. like traditional book balls or conventions are, where it's like, huge market this day, big dancing event the next, but it's like having a little market for a few hours and then just the dancing, but it's not as many people, very close.
Yeah. No, small. I like that. That sounds so fun. Oh my God, that's so exciting.
And that's what I made that when I was like, I made content. I was like, that was the content was where we're like announcing that we're going.
Yeah.
So I was like saying to the camera, like, what do I say? I don't know.
What do I do?
I don't know. So we'll see. When I post it, if it looks dumb, someone has to message me. Someone say something.
Manifesting that's going to look fantastic.
It's going to look good. It's mm-hmm. going to look good because Dallas put time and effort into it.
Yes.
I mean, I also, it depends on like what the content is, but like when I'm making my content and when I'm like playing it back and editing it, if I'm having a good time watching the content, then I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, cool. I feel good about this. Sometimes yeah. I play it back and I'm like, nah, I'm not feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I say I am my own target audience when I'm doing
yeah.
that, because I'm like, mm-hmm. I literally, I'll sit there like cutting clips and whatever. And I'm like, mm-hmm. like I'm giggling to myself. I'm laughing with myself in the video.
Good.
So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you know it's gonna be a winner.
I got distracted. What was the question?
Didn't we answer it? I think
something about an event. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like, oh, if you get invited still, oh. Or if you have to reach out, be like, hey, I want to go to your event, or if they reach out to you. I was like, hold on, I think we got there, but no, yes.
I have not had anyone reach out to me and be like, hey, we want you to come to our event, so I'm not there yet. I am going to be an influencer at Sinners and Stardust next year, which I'm like absolutely freaking out over and so excited. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, but I don't know when you're posting this. So they went on sale October 9th. But so I applied to be an influencer for that and like mm-hmm. I got accepted. So that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. As for like the events I go to with Squamer or with Steven, like that's mm-hmm. – they might get invited to some. I think it's mostly kind of an invite, and then it's an if they're bringing an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
So okay. I also recognize that because I'm at like working as their assistant, it's a very unique perspective on attending events.
Yeah. Yes. Because you're there, you can see in all the fun, but you're not like – you don't have to be like the frau of house, I guess,
mm-hmm.
if that makes – that's interesting. Okay. Yeah,
just kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, making sure everything goes well. And then – it's time, Madison. We need to talk about.
Yes. So I've been to quite a few book etiquette. Events. For those who have not been to book events before, what are some tips and tricks, book etiquette, that you would pass on to other people who maybe need to brush up on their etiquette skills or are not or are going to their first event and they're like, what do I do? Especially as someone who's like an introvert, like I'm very much in my corner. I've had to have people mm-hmm. like, I'll be like, oh, I would really like to go get a photo of that person. They're like, go ask. I'm like, the Southern girl in me is like, wait till they're done talking. Then you may approach. But they're like, no, just go. I'm like, that's a thing.
I mean, in that specific instance, I would approach and wait to say anything because then they will know. And when they're done wrapping up with what they're doing, they'll probably turn to you and be like, mm-hmm. hey.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my goal for like that specific thing. I would say my biggest tip, depending on what kind of event. So like I went to Wild and Windy this year, which was like my first really big convention. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to Spellbound in the Valley, which is happening at the end of this month in Poughkeepsie, New York, which is the first time they're doing it. But I already know it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be there actually volunteering to help out. So I'm excited about that. And I just got like rolling book carts to use for that because that's clutch. I was at Wild and Windy with my friend Randy and she had a book cart, which was super convenient for all of the books that I was mm-hmm. buying. So I would say like kind of planning for that and mm-hmm. planning to spend more than you think you're going to spend. I think budgeting for that and planning accordingly. I would also say for going to events, if you're like planning what event you want to go to and what ticket tier you want to get, it usually pays to get the highest ticket tier depending on what that offers, but there's usually a reason they're doing that, and it's not just to make money. It's that they are actually, if it's a good event, they are actually doing it to provide the best value. So I think if you're going to go to an event, like it's a little bit like go big or go home in my mm-hmm. opinion, and if you want to do it, then like do all of it that you can.
Yeah, I want to get a little bit into the like book etiquette as far as when you were an attending at this event, especially because of the situation that had occurred. And I don't know if you want to go into that situation a little bit and maybe give it like not too much, but like a kind of a recap of maybe what happened and then what we should expect or people, listeners in general, should expect when they go to an event and how to behave and still have fun at these events with also still being respectful to the like the actors and the influencers that are going. Like we know we're excited. We know you're excited to go, but here's how we behave. So if you want to dive into that for us.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you're talking about what happened at Sinners and Stardust this year, which I was not at. I just heard everything through the grapevine of social media, mm-hmm. which the gist of it was there was an extra there was a guy there who I think he's a musician and he is masked. He doesn't show his face. So he was there in his masked persona and at one point was not standing with his friends. And there were, my understanding is, some drunk women who got into the group herd mindset and started touching him extremely inappropriately. And it was not a good situation. Everything that I heard coming out of it was I think handled really well after the fact by the hosts of Sinners and Stardust, who were obviously like, listen, and he had come out and said, like, this is not their fault. I think that it was handled very well where they're like, listen, we obviously something happened that made this a viable option. So we are going to shift what happens in the future so that there's a what I would say staff section. So any authors, vendors, narrators, special guests, influencers, volunteers, assistants, like anything like that, there's a section for them that's not for attendees to create a safe space for those people. So I think that's a really important thing, and probably upping security in the future, which I think is something they're doing. They came out with a message after that weekend, and I was happy and impressed with the way that it was handled, as well as a lot of other event companies coming out with messages of saying, hey, in light of that happening, we're going to up our security. We're going to make sure we have secure staff areas, safe spaces. We're going to make sure that we do color-coded lanyards or bracelets or something to indicate people's level of comfort. Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff to help create spaces for that. So I think that was handled well. I think what happened was absolutely awful, but I can see how that would happen when people are drinking. I think alcohol is a big part of it, and like one person probably is like, oh hey, like put my arm around you, and another person takes it a step further and it just kind of plays off each other. But I am glad to see that all of these event companies have put into place like ways to try to prevent it. A lot of it just with upping security. And then I think he also found an AirTag in his clothing the next day that someone had placed there, which is like awful. So I like called Swimmer the next day. I'm like, so I need to start checking you for AirTags when we leave events. Thanks.
Just get out the little TSA thing. Just like, put the arms out.
No, seriously. Me. But like that was terrifying. And I think it could have really ruined the community. I think it's very disappointing. And there are also plenty of authors who, based on that and for their own comfort, have said, hey, you know what? I am not going to attend events for an extended period of time. And that's entirely understandable.
Yes, definitely.
And it sucks for the attendees who are respectful of other people and their boundaries. But that's how it works. What is it? Run What's the thing about a rotten apple in a barrel? Not a barrel.
I was just gonna say it takes one person to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, let's go with that. That sounds better.
I'm not sure.
I don't know about
like
apples.
One rotten apple spoils the bunch or like something.
That sounds familiar.
Believe it.
Yeah. I'm gonna pretend that's a thing.
Yeah. Only one I could think of was like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, just because you said apple and like analogy. I was like, that's the only one.
Maybe it's not apple. Maybe I'm completely butchering it.
Bad egg? Is that one?
A bad egg is a thing, but I don't think that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no.
I can Google it.
But we made it a thing. It is a thing today.
Yeah. But it sucks that like one person or a couple of people can really kind of ruin opportunities that were previously there. And I think it just means that people need to be more careful and more aware and have more handlers or volunteers looking out for it and speak up if you see something. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. And I think a lot of the time, and this happens not just in the dark romance community, but just like in life in general, it's very easy to just be a bystander when something's going wrong and that can escalate. And I think people aren't necessarily taught to speak up when you see something, or they don't register that something needs to be spoken up about in the moment. I think that's also really challenging. But I think the extra security that a lot of these companies and hosts are putting in play for future events is good for the comfort level of anyone who's going to be attending. I mean, just attendees, but also the staff.
You know that you're going to be safe.
So
that's wild. So when you go to events, people, be on good behavior.
Yeah.
Be on good behavior. Be kind. I mean,
and also, like, I don't think they really do open bars or anything, but there will be, like, you know, if there's balls and it's 21 plus and it's if there's alcohol, I mean,
be responsible.
Do what you need to do to be responsible.
Have a good time, but not at the expense of others.
Right.
And don't touch people.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Without their consent. Like, we read dark romance. We're well aware of what consent means.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know why we're confused at these events. Like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay. That's so weird. Ugh.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking to see all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know for sure. Obviously, I don't know who the artist is, but I wonder or I worry if that ruined events for that person forever.
That would
bite for me.
Yeah. I mean, I hope not.
Mm-hmm. And if it would have been reversed, right? Like if it would have been like a female cosplayer, mm-hmm. it would have been
an uproar,
right? Mm-hmm. So why? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the book talk community did do a good job at calling people out online, mm-hmm. and getting on their platforms and being like, this is not okay. So I do feel like it wasn't as quiet as it should have been, but I don't know. Yeah. I hate it all around.
I mean, I think this is in no way making any of it okay, because it's not. But mm-hmm. I think especially when alcohol is involved and because he's there in a mask, I think it gives a sense of anonymity and a sense of like a barrier from the people who are doing it. I think if they were looking someone in the eyes, I don't know that they would have pushed it as far.
Oh, but okay. Yeah.
He's still a human being who, regardless mm-hmm. of whether or not you can see his face, deserves the respect of not shoving your hand down his pants without his consent.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty basic
mm-hmm.
human right.
And did they receive any consequences for this? Or were they like, was there like a resolution for those specific people?
I don't know the answer. I don't know if the people were ever specified. I'm sure there's more to it. And I just know what I know from seeing mm-hmm. people talk about it on social media. I think I saw a post put out where he had said that because of the mask, he had limited vision and didn't actually know everyone who did it, right. and was choosing, I believe he was choosing not to press charges or do anything mm-hmm. further. Probably, I'm strictly guessing, for his own mental health to not have to continue going through it. Mm-hmm. But that was, I think, something I saw like the week following. I haven't been following since then, so I don't know if there's other new information or anything else that has come out of it. But I do think that the extra rules and security that have been put into place across all events is mm-hmm. the right response and good for future events.
Agreed. Thank you for going into that. I know that was kind of like a rough subject, a touchy subject, but again, we are starting to go to these events, and we mm-hmm. know that other people are going to their first event, mm-hmm. and I feel like it was a good idea to talk to someone who's been to quite a few of them to see what the expectations truly are and how everyone should be when they are there.
Yeah.
It's a gentle reminder.
I'm lucky. I've never experienced anything like that. I've never mm-hmm. witnessed anything like that happening at any of the events. I think that it's – and even like events I've been to with Squamer, I'm like, I've never really seen anything that anyone's really pushed boundaries on before, which is a good thing. And I hope that continues to be the case.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So we want to get into one more thing that you have said on your social media. It's really funny. It's good. It's not bad. Don't, no stress. I can see it on your face.
I love it.
What is good girl syndrome? So you've said this before, and I just want you to break it down for us. What does that mean?
So good girl syndrome, as I understand it and what it means to me, is that from the time you're a kid, especially in our generation, like girls are taught, I mean, even if you think back, like, oh, if a boy pulls your hair, it means he likes you. If he's mean to you, it means he likes you. You're just take it. It's easier to do that. And it's just a lot of this societal expectation that girls grow into women who are just okay with whatever other people do, whether or not it actually pushes their boundaries or is something that they're really comfortable with. And I think breaking out of that and trying to do that is something that has been important for me. And I think a lot of it, I mean, it's pretty cool through books to see like the female main characters, like even like the female rage that comes through with some of it, just to see the badass women who are like, no, we're going to do this because we know what our boundaries are. We know what we need to be doing, and like kind of embrace that a little bit in real life. But yeah, I think the good girl syndrome is just kind of it's so ingrained. I know for me, and I don't know if it's a good girl syndrome or just who I am as a person, I need time to process my emotions. When something happens in the moment, Like, I am so like, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then later I'm like, maybe that wasn't fine. And I'm not saying anyone doing anything inappropriate, like anything like that. But yeah. When I was in high school and college, I worked at a music store with a bunch of guys in bands. Like,
yep.
They're going to say inappropriate things, not directed at me, not anything like crazy, but just normal things. And then I'll leave and I'll be like, huh, that probably wasn't, you know, really okay. But it's normalized in my head to just smile and nod. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the smile and nod really for me is how I take that to mean the good girl syndrome and figuring out like, hold on, I get to decide what my boundaries are and what I want to accept into my life and into my surroundings and into my universe.
Yeah, I feel like that was me in college, especially like going into STEM. And there'd be like times where I'd be like the only girl in a STEM class and it'd be like majority guys. And it'd just be like me and one other girl at a table and the guys would just be doing their thing and making all the jokes. And we're just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, just let it roll off your back. It doesn't matter. Like, that's fine. But if the roles were reversed and girls were doing things or speaking up about things, like, the boys aren't taught to just accept it. They push back on things. So it's just kind of, to me, it's that inequality, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to help your, like, mind or the new generation, like the ones that are in elementary school now, that is being changed. And I am helping it, right? My daughter, it will come home and be like, well, this boy said this and he was mean to me and now she's not supposed to be mean back, right? We fight it with kindness, right? But we also put a hand up and say, don't speak to me like that. You don't talk to me that way.
Right.
That's so cute. We were not unkind. I won't accept it. Right. Yeah. So we as women, you know, are teaching, hopefully now teaching younger generations, whether it is a daughter or a niece or a friend or a sister or another little girl in your life, like, you have to tell them, right? They have to learn, because she came home and she was like, he probably likes me. And I said, no. Mm-hmm. I said, even if he does, that's not what we accept, you know? And then it's like, do you see your dad talking to me that way or treating me that way? She said, well, no. I said, if he did, I would put my hand up and say, don't speak to me that way, right? So,
I am glad to hear that.
So we're working on it.
Yes.
We're healing ourselves. And we're helping the next generation not have to heal as much.
Yeah, that's the goal.
It's starting. We're starting it.
But I also think it's something that like feminism didn't really come to light until the past, 50-ish years.
Yeah.
So I feel like for so many generations to just accept and be taught that and that, that's what it was. And like, I can't fault them because that was what they grew up with and that was what was ingrained in them. But like, I'm big on – you do the best with what you know until you know better. And like, as long as once you know better, you say, oh, hold on. Let me adjust whatever it is that I'm doing or thinking or acting or anything. Like,
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's hope yet.
Oh, for sure.
I had to educate quite a few of my male coworkers in the past, like the life of a girl, because me and my other fellow coworkers, we'd be like, like after the night shifts, like we would all – either walk with like our keys in between our knuckles or we'd walk with like our water bottles filled. And then they'd be like, why? So we'd have to tell them. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, as a girl, sometimes you got to have like your own scary dog privilege.
Yeah, exactly. I still kickbox a little bit, but I started kickboxing when I graduated from college.
Nice.
And like, I walk around different knowing that I know how to throw a punch if I need to.
My dad dabbled in jiu-jitsu and Krav Maga, and he taught me and my sister a little bit, so we know the important things.
Exactly. But like that, and that was cool because when I was actively like training with them, I was helping with some of the kids' classes too. So there was like 3 and 4 year olds that we would teach, and like, you know, they don't know what they're doing yet, but then there's like the elementary school kids, and I was helping with those classes for a while. And when you see them come in and start and continue, like, they develop a level of confidence that comes from knowing how to hold themselves and how to protect themselves and how to respect themselves. Yeah. And to see the difference in the kids doing that is like life-changing. And I was like 21, 22 when I started doing this. And I remember mm-hmm. my parents saying like, listen, we're glad, like, if I'm going into New York City for something, they're like, you know, I feel a little bit better knowing that you mm-hmm. theoretically know how to fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is wild. But mm-hmm. like that, I would say, was a big thing for me with confidence just in general, mm-hmm. like in life. And I think that teaching someone how to protect themselves, and like you said, like, no, don't talk to me like that. Like, you're teaching someone how to protect herself, how to protect mm-hmm. her energy, protect her feelings, protect her boundaries.
Yep.
And like, I'm really glad that that's something that's happening.
It's not just to the boys too, like also to the girls as well, mm-hmm. because I think that it's hard as a young, like when you're a young girl, especially when you get into like junior high, high school, if you're not in with a good like group of girls who are your friends, like sometimes that's hard, you know, and you have girls that are mean to you. I want her to be confident enough to be like, no, you're not talking to me that way.
Right.
Like, I don't care how cool you are.
Right.
I don't care what shoes you have. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what phone you have. Like, you're not going to speak to me that way. Mm-hmm. It's not happening.
And recognizing that the bullies are doing it usually out of fear and insecurity and all of that. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah,
that's a lot easier said from the outside.
Yes, 100%. And I expect her eventually to do that for others as well. No, you're not speaking to that person that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Right.
So I hope that eventually she's confident enough to get to that next step as well, where she not only can stand up for herself, but also be an example of other, like standing up for others.
I love the like almost gentle parenting aspect of not of teaching your kids, but of gentle parenting other people when they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. Like if someone says something, excuse me, sorry, can you repeat that? And like, yeah. If they're saying something snarky, it's like, are they really going to do that? Or mm-hmm. if you're like, why would you say that? And oh, because it's funny. I don't get it. Can you explain why it's
yes.
funny?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, can you those break it down? I'm not sure what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay.
Right.
Yes.
Or like, I've never used it, but I like the idea of if someone says something, being like, are you saying that to help or to hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're saying it to help, it's like, okay, well, how is that helpful? And mm-hmm. otherwise, the alternative, it's to hurt.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. I'm putting that in the bank. Mm-hmm. It's in here now.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it. Yeah, I like mm-hmm. that. Do you want to try again?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Why don't you try one more time?
Right.
No, like, I'm going to give him a moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what you said? Are you sure?
All right, let's do this. We have, to wrap it all up, we have a rapid fire for you.
Okay.
All right.
So they're fun. They're easy. Madison, start us off.
Yes. Don't think too hard. But question number one, what is your favorite trope in a book?
Enemies to lovers.
Beautiful. Most underrated book?
Ooh. I don't know, because I was saying, like, I recommend, I don't review books. Like, they're all 5-star to reads to me.
Okay. All right.
Most underrated. There was a really good mafia series by Cora Riley that I really liked. That was a really good one. Or I would say The Saint View Universe by L. Thorpe, which are some of like my favorite books right now, which are a bunch of trilogies that are all Y choose, where it's MMFM books.
Ooh, so love that.
Yeah. And they have like all the tropes in every series. It's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful package.
What is a book that put you in a book hangover, wrecked you, but you still said thank you at the very end?
Manacles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have not read that.
Well, that's the one that turned into Alchemized.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That one. I mean, also the Ravenhood series.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very nice. Okay. If your life were a romance novel, dark or contemporary, what tropes would it include? Unlimited.
Like how my life actually is or what I would want it to be?
You choose.
Yes.
I mean, I would have like pretty much all of them other than a surprise pregnancy trope.
Valid. Valid.
I learned the other day that that was a trope.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
I didn't know.
No, wow. I'm like, pregnancy can show up anytime after like 80% in the book. If it's earlier mm-hmm. than 80%, I don't like it.
I've never even read a book that has that. So I don't think I even have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Like,
yeah. The only one that I can think of that I actually like was called Three Little Words by Megan Quinn, which was part of her Vancouver Agitator series, the hockey series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was book two. I skipped that book and I read the other books. And then really? I was like, you know what? I love the characters so much. I want to go back and read it. And I did enjoy it.
Aww. And so my question is, because I haven't read this, is it like literally you're like with somebody, maybe you just met them, then you get pregnant and then you go on like this journey together? Or is it like Sabrina Carpenter in Juno where she like has a pregnancy kink? Like, where are we looking at here?
So I would say if it's a surprise pregnancy trope, it's usually that it's about the pregnancy journey. Otherwise, I would say it's like a surprise kid. I don't like a surprise pregnancy trope. I like a surprise single dad trope.
I love single dad and nanny romances.
Like, I love a single dad, either who is a single dad, or I love a trope where the MMC is going about his business and a kid gets dropped off on his doorstep.
With like a little note.
Pretty much. I just read one, which was it's called Who's Your Daddy by Brittany Nicole and Jenny Barra. Okay. And that was the first in there. I think they're calling it the Dadcom series. But that was a surprise kid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Whenever I was reading Haunting and there was like one of Zade's missions and there was like one little girl and she's like, will you be my new daddy? And I'm like, you better say yes right now. Please. I need
there's
it.
There's only one answer. You can't
adopt
say
this
no.
girl.
Yes. Oh, that's
I
hilarious.
Will say I like calling like a shadow daddy or something like that, but I don't actually like a like daddy kink in a book.
Yeah. Okay. I've only read one of those and I was just like, maybe if I don't think about it, we'll see.
Yeah.
Sounds really unenjoyable. It sounds like you didn't enjoy that book.
I put on blinders because it was a daddy kink one and it was like a really big age gap. So it is one of the salacious books. I won't say which one unless you want me to. But I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed the storyline, the plot line. But that specific kink journey, I'm just like.
Yeah. The only one that I was okay with for that, because it wasn't like the whole, it wasn't the point of the book, was Desperate Measures by Katie Robert, which is part of her Wicked Villain series. And it is Jasmine and Jafar.
I know exactly the book you're talking about. I can picture the cover.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Ooh, fabulous. So many books to add to the TBR. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us. This was wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
This was so fun. Thank you guys for watching The Goodish Girls. My name is Dallas.
I'm Madison.
And I'm Nikki.
Yay, there she is. Awesome.
Can't get enough of The Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.